to a sudden widespread fear, particularly concerning financial matters, or a state of frantic activity driven by concern. Now, as I said, David jumped out of the fire into the frying pan. And I said that because in his panic, as he ran away from Saul, he ran. First, he went to the temple and he went to the priest and he got the sword that he had used to cut off Goliath's head, which was Goliath's sword. He got some bread. Irrational behavior. Basically, he lied. When the priest asked him, "Why are you here by yourself?" And he's going, "No, I'm on the king's business. Just give me some bread." And the priest is saying, "Well, all we have is the hallow bread." David's like, "Okay, that's okay." So, irrational behavior. He takes the bread. He knows that Saul's men is coming after him. Where does he run? He runs to Gath. He goes to Gath. There he's with the king. And when the men saw him, they said, "Isn't this David, the one who fought with Saul, the one that the people said Saul had killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands?" And David started to panic again. And as they took him to the king, the panic caused David to have more irrational behavior. The scripture says that he began to drool and let spittle come down on his beard and scratch up the walls and act like a madman, so that the king said, "Get this man out of my house. I don't want him here." But David was running for his life. And I want to look at this morning Psalms 34. It says, a psalm of David, thanks for deliverance. A psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed, and that's the king of Gath. "I will bless the Lord at all times." I think we just sung a little bit about that a little bit earlier, didn't we? "His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his cry, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. You know, this psalm was penned at a particular occasion. David didn't write this when he was in a palace, when he was sitting on the throne. But David penned this when he was in a cave, when panic was all around. That was all he could see. He was panicking from Saul. He was panicking from Abimelech. He was panicking because he did not know which way to go. And it's interesting because if we think about our lives, that's exactly what we do. When things come up in our life, what do? We panic. We don't know if we should go to the left. We don't know if we should go to the right. We try this, we try that. David tried this, that, and the other, and none of it worked for him. And we do the same thing. We try this, that, and the other. But it wasn't until David realized what he was doing was not working that he came to the realization that I need to bless the Lord. Now keep in mind, he's in a cave. Everything is still going on around him. The storm is still raging. And you know how we get when the storm is raging. We can't see nothing but the storm. We cannot see a way out. But even in the midst of this storm that David was going through, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Now keep in mind, he didn't say, I'm going to bless the Lord when I'm sitting on the throne and I'm king over Israel. Or I will bless the Lord when I'm sitting at Saul's table and all is well. But he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. See, it's something about blessing the Lord at all times. We don't have time to pick and choose when we want to bless him. We don't have time to pick and choose that I'm up today, so today I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm that, well, you know, I'm not really feeling it today. But it's a continual blessing. We should bless the Lord at all times. His praise should continually be in our mouth. Now keep in mind, as I said, David was in the midst of the storm. This is probably, I don't want to say one of the darkest or the darkest, but it was a dark time for him. Anybody in here ever had a dark time? Does it ever seem like we're carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders? Does it ever seem like we have no way out? Thank God Jesus died on Calvary's cross to give us that way out. The same way that David acknowledged God at a certain point, we need to be acknowledging the sacrifice that was paid on Calvary. Because that is our way out. That is how we will bless the Lord at all times. That is that constant praise that needs to be flowing out of our mouth. David found that his deliverance wasn't in deceiving man, but his deliverance was in looking to God. Our deliverance isn't in deceiving man. Our deliverance isn't what we can do or what man can do for us, but our deliverance is in the cross. If we want deliverance, we have to trust in the sacrifice that was paid on Calvary's cross. Something else about blessing the Lord. When we bless the Lord, it says that we have an understanding of who God is. We have an understanding of what he has done. We have an understanding of the love that he had, that he sent his only begotten son, and that his son was obedient unto death, shed his blood for the remission of our sins. When we have that understanding, we will bless the Lord. I know people sometimes wonder, Sister Lincoln, why are you always shouting? Sister Lincoln, why are you always praising? That does not mean that everything is perfect in Sister Lincoln's life, because it is not. That does not mean that I do not have any rough times. That does not mean that somebody doesn't get on my last nerve and I really want to tell them off. What it means is I have learned to acknowledge and trust in God. Because I have found, as much as I would like to think I have everything under control, as much as I would like to think that I can do it all in my own strength, because I do go to the gym Monday through Thursday and I be working out, so I'm getting kind of strong, I ain't got it. I'm not that strong. All of my trust, all of my faith has to be placed in Jesus. And that's what helps us to be able to bless him at all times. See, we need to know that when panic knocks on our door, we need to let praise, we need to let the blessing go and answer the door for us. Because when panic knocks and we answer, guess what? We start panicking. But when we begin to praise God and let him know, Lord, I know you hear my cries. I know you know what I'm going through at this time. I know that you're able to deliver me. Praise and panic cannot be in the same room. Praise and panic cannot be on the same lips. And we as believers, we need to push panic as far away as we possibly can and keep that praise on the tip of our tongue. When we get up in the morning, we need to be blessing God, because it is a blessing to wake up in the morning. It is a blessing to throw your feet across on the floor and be able to get up and take them steps, be able to lift your hands, be able to have a voice. It is a blessing, and we need to utilize these bodies, these temples of the Holy Ghost, we need to utilize them to bless the Lord. Because if we will bless him at all times, panic has got to go. Verse 2 says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And see, I'm not talking about, you know how we get the big chest and the big head, and we think that we're something and we're not. But our boast should be in the Lord. Our boast should be based on what God has done, not just for us, as like gave me a new house, gave me a new car, but what he did, he gave me new life. He died for my sins. He heals me. He's a deliverer. That's where our boast should be. And when we boast like that, we can be like Paul when Paul said, let his boast be in the Lord. And we can tell somebody else. You know, if we're boasting, we need to be saying, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. Not what I have gotten for myself. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Every Sunday morning we come in here and our worship team invites us to magnify the Lord with them. Now, we have a choice. We have an option. We can either join in, thank God for that invitation, or we can sit here and twiddle our thumbs. And maybe we're not really twiddling our thumbs, but you know what I mean. But the invitation is here, and that's what David did with his men. As he's sitting in the cave, he told them, he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. You know, it's something about when you have a relationship with the Lord, you don't want to have it all by yourself. You want to invite other people to come and join in with you. You know, if I found something good out in the world, and I'm going to tell you, hey, there's a sale, you can get this, that, and the other. Well, I'm telling you, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Come magnify the Lord with me. Come lift up his name with me. Come magnify him. Let's bless his holy name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Sometimes we just don't want to seek him. We get too busy. You know, we don't want to spend time talking to God. But yet we need to spend time talking to God. Because I know, as much as I love Pastor, if he came in the house and we didn't have a conversation, if he didn't speak to me, we didn't talk, I might still love them, but that love might be starting to wane a little bit. We need to keep those lines of communication open between us and the Lord. We need to be able to go to him and know that when we go to him, he cares for us. He told us that we could come boldly to the throne of grace. He told us to cast all our cares upon him. But if we don't have a relationship with him, if we hadn't been talking to him, if we hadn't been spending time with him, we don't have enough trust to know that we can go to him because we need to. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. And that's what I was just talking about. We need to know that when we cry out to God, he hears us. And when he hears us, he's going to do something about it. But if we don't cry, he don't hear, he don't do. No action. But if we cry and we are of a humble and contrite spirit, if we are brokenhearted, if we're able to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, he will do something about our situation. Because the angel of the Lord encamps round about them who fear him and delivers them. And one of the things that I liked about this, when it talks about the angel of the Lord encamping, and it was looking at David and the few men that he had, and back in those days, when they made their camp, when they were at war, it was like the king was in the center, and then the soldiers were around and around and around. And that's the natural encampment. But then, outside of that natural encampment, the angels of the Lord are encamped, protecting, keeping. And that's what they do for us. That's what the angel of the Lord does for us. It protects. It keeps. And this encampment, it's not a temporary thing, but this encampment is a permanent thing if we allow it. You know, there's always a caveat. If we allow it. If we do. If we talk to God, God talks to us. There's a caveat. But that encampment is intended to be a permanent encampment to protect us, to keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them who fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they who seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Verse 9 says, there is no want to them who fear him. Verse 10 says, they who seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now, when you look at that scripture, those two scriptures together, those two verses together, it talks about a reverence for God. If we have a reverence for him, he will provide the provisions that we need. If we have that reverence of fear for him, then he is going to supply all of our need according to his riches and glory. But verse 10 says, the young lion do lack and suffer hunger. And what I liked about this, when you think about a lion, the lion is the king of the beast. I mean, that's the one that's roaring. That's the one that is just has all the strength. But even with all that strength, they do lack and suffer hunger. But the lion of the tribe of Judah, the lion of the tribe of Judah, he has all the strength. He lacks nothing. He doesn't hunger. And what's even better is he does that for us. We don't have to lack anything. We don't have to suffer hunger. We can rest in his strength. And that's by, you know, we say it over and over and over, by placing our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The cross is the only way to go. It's the means to our justification, our sanctification. Everything that we need is in the cross. Everything that we need is when we look to Jesus. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cries. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their trouble. Once again, I will say, if we talk to him, he will do something about our situation. Now, keep in mind that every time we talk to him does not mean he's going to give us a yes answer. He may give us a no answer, but that's because Father knows best. So it may not be in our best interest. But it also says that he is against them that do evil and will cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. I just want that to just linger here for a minute. Because we do not want to do evil in any shape, form, or fashion. Because if we do evil, he is going to cut us off from the face of the earth. And there will be no remembrance of us. So it is in our best interest not just to do good so that we can go to heaven, but to do good so that the remembrance of us does not get cut off from the face of the earth. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Saints, we go through. I don't know any other way to say it. If you say, oh no, I don't go through. Oh no, I ain't got no issues. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to us, but you're lying to yourself. We all go through. And it says many afflictions. So it doesn't matter how many we go through. If we will keep that constant bless the Lord at all times, if we will keep that constant praise, if we will keep our minds on whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report, if we will keep our minds stayed upon Jesus, he is going to deliver us out of all the afflictions that come upon our life. If we can learn to go from panic to praise, from panic to I will bless the Lord at all times, from I will bless the Lord and constantly bless him when I get up in the morning, when I'm in the bathroom brushing my teeth, when I'm putting on my clothes, my mind is stayed on him. And that doesn't necessarily mean that our mouth always has to be open. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But in our minds, we can have a constant praise. In our hearts, we can have a constant praise towards him. And if we have that constant praise towards him, then he will meet all of our needs. He will deliver us out of all of our afflictions. Verse 20 says, he keeps all of his bones, not one of them is broken. And I just want to bring that out because this is in reference to Jesus. When he was hanging on the cross, it had been prophesied that he would keep all of his bones, and not a one of them was broken. And so when they came to break the legs of those that were being crucified with him, and they saw that the breath had already gone out of him, they didn't break any of his bones. And David was foreseeing the Messiah hanging on the cross, knowing that that was his answer to every problem. Although the Old Testament, they looked to God, but they knew the Messiah was coming. They knew that one day the Redeemer would be there. And in this case, the Redeemer was there. And if you are in a season of panic, fear, or confusion, I want to encourage you this morning. Praise him. Seek him. Taste of his goodness. Oh, I missed that one. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste him. See that he truly is good. Walk in reverence to his word. take refuge in Jesus and experience the God who delivers and redeems. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most holy and righteous Father, Lord, we just thank you again for another opportunity to be in your house this morning. Father, we just thank you right now because we know that all things are in your hands. Lord, help us to bless you at all times. Help us, Lord, to keep that constant praise in our hearts, in our minds, on our lips, to constantly acknowledge you, Lord, and not look to fix everything in ourselves. And God, we just ask that you bring us from panic to praise. You bring us from fear to faith. You bring us from crisis to confidence. Lord, we look to you and we give you all the praise and all the glory.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is good. How many enjoyed the word today? God is a good God. I got demoted and I'm just a closer now. I no longer... No, I wanted to take a moment and I wanted to share with you a project that we're wanting to take on. This is something that I've been aware of for months, actually, I don't know, 6 or 7 months. And I never really moved on it because I didn't know whether God really wanted us involved in this. And so recently I reached out to Nita in Pakistan, and I felt that this is a time that we do need to get involved. This is something that we can take a huge weight off of our orphanage in Pakistan if we move on this. And so, let's see, here we go. We want to do a solar panel project in Pakistan. The electrical grid in Pakistan is horrendous. It's very bad. They have rolling blackouts on a daily basis. In addition to that, the electricity cost is extremely high for an undeveloped country. It's very, very high. And so I asked Nita to send me an electric bill. This is one of their electric bills. This was August of last year. Their electricity for 1 month is 64,000 rupees, which equates to about $230 USD. Now that's, you know, pretty much that's about what my electric bill is here. But we're not a developing country, and we're a fairly rich company, country. This is a lot of money for them. And so they've done the research. And if we put in the solar panels for them, they're going to reduce that by 85 to 90% so that their electrical costs every month will be very, very low. And so we've done the research. If we could put up that next slide, please. These are all the parts that go into the electrical system. And we can put them all in. We can purchase the parts, have them delivered, have them installed for a cost of only $5,500. And that means that ongoing, month over month, they're going to have an extreme savings month over month. And so I'm coming to you this morning to ask you to help us put together this $5,500 so that we can send it over there and get those solar panels up. Now, another thing is they can use the solar panels even in winter. They have enough sunshine that they continue to generate power even in the winter. And these have a couple of batteries on them. Can we go back just one slide, please? They have a couple batteries in the list there, so they can store a little bit of power as well. And so we're asking you if you would help us. You can pick out the far right hand. The far right hand column is U.S. dollars. And you can pick out a line item and say, hey, I'm going to take care of this, or I'm going to take care of these two, or I'm going to take care of half of one of them, whatever that you're able to do. But we want to try to put this money together fairly quickly so that we can get this installed for them. And they don't have to pay this extreme electrical bill month over month. Will you help us with that? So on the kiosk out there, also in the text to give, you can select Pakistan Solar Project, and that money will go directly to this. We'll route it directly to this, and we'll try to get them up and running as quickly as possible. Amen. So I thank you. If you're able to help us with this, I thank you very, very much. Praise the Lord. Why don't you stand to your feet and we'll be dismissed. What I say unto one, I say unto all, watch, pray, live holy every day. Amen. You are dismissed, and I do love you.